Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew, please. We're going to start off right off the bat with this very verse because this just, to me, sums up my life and the weekend. We're in a week. We're not a weekend. Wow. Matthew chapter 9. In Matthew chapter 9, we'll just read it. And he entered into a ship, this is Jesus Christ, and he passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy. And as we read this, picture yourself just going about your day, and people know that you're a son of God. You've lived in your community. You've shared the word. You've walked. They have a friend that has palsy. They know you're the one to go to, as Sherry shared. So there you are in your city. So they bring you, picture yourself here. So a man sick of the palsy lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their believing, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Wow. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think you evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then said he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And he arose, and he departed. And he went into his house. He got off his bed. So get off your couch, y'all. Isn't that just amazing? Jesus Christ forgave his sins. And each and every one of us, our sins are forgiven. But when the multitudes, there's a lot of people watching this. When the multitudes saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. And that's why I marvel this weekend. As I see your faces, as I've heard the word of God, as I've been here, as I've talked with you, I marvel at our God who's given such power to you. Each and every one of us has that power. Speak in tongues in your head. You have it. That's how you become fearless. I want to read a quote from Dr. Werwell. The freedom of will to believe, to receive, is perhaps one of man's greatest privileges. The freedom of will. Tony and I were in the Way Corps in a leadership program, and Dr. Werwell had made this statement. And I'm like, okay, doctor, okay. And I didn't get it. I just didn't get it. Now I get it. One of the names of God is called Elohim, and he is the creator. So God, the creator, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 14. So this week, the word has been, the best I can describe it is laid down. It's there. It has been put before us. The foundation has been set. I typically teach two-year-olds, so be assured, everyone, you'll get this. So Isaiah chapter 14, we know in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? And he had some ministering spirits. He had three of them. He had Lucifer, he had Michael, and he had Gabriel. So Isaiah 14, we're going to learn about one of these spirits. Let me see if I can find Isaiah. Isaiah 14. Sorry, I had my bookmark here and I lost it. Verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? He was the morning star. How great are thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations. In the intermediate class on Power for Abundant Living, Dr. Werwell tells us what it is not. I am laying before you what it is not. So this is what don't do. Verse 13, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars, O God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That is the total antithesis of what Bob just taught, isn't it? That's what he did with the freedom of the will of his heart. That is why we have an adversary, because our God never possesses, never. That is why our freedom of will is so vital to us. Isn't that amazing? Acts chapter 8. Bob talked about having a spiritual responsibility. We have that, right? Each and every one of us. Acts chapter 8. Pretty much any verse I thought to cover, any verse, was covered. Bob even covered the verse about a dog returning to his vomit. He did. And now I'm going to tell you why I was going to share that verse. When I was 16, I first heard the word of God, and my soul was electrified, because at that young age of 16, I'd seen the darkness of the world. I'd lived there. I'd been entangled in it. And I took Power for Abundant Living, and I spoke in tongues, and I was just on fire. And so I go back home, and I do these things, and then I drifted away because the wows left, and because I had a lot of excuses. But I drifted away, and I drifted so far that for 3 years, I did not even talk to God. I didn't. I really drifted away. And it was like that dog returning to the vomit. Those first years before the 16 that were dark, those dark nights of my soul, those were kind of light compared to those 3 years of me returning to my vomit. And when you have a God who takes you out of the systems of this world, you're so thankful, right? It's just so incredible. We're just so thankful. And then if you, by your own will, decide to choose to go back, what kind of fool are you? Well, I was a fool. But you know what? God's love and grace and mercy and strength pull me back the second time. And the way it melted my heart was, it was actually Tony's wow brother. This is how I met my Tony. His wow family came to town. My sister had first witnessed to me and taken the class. And I lived in three different states, went back, and my sister came to visit us in Gallup. She goes, "There's wows coming to town." I'm like, "That's nice." And she said, "Promise me you'll call them." I said, "Sure, sis, I promise I'll call them." She goes, "Promise." So I promised. You know, promises, promises, promise. So the wows come, I get their number. And this is 1980, honey, or 1980. There's no answering machine. Like, we just barely got over party lines. We'll tell you later what those are. So I call this number, and I call this number every day for 14 days. Can you imagine how angry I am? But I made a promise. So I'm just like, all right. So finally, the phone rings. Hello? Hello. Hi. Are you Michael? Yeah, Michael. Michael, hi. I'm Kim. Yeah, your wow's great. Okay, yes, I will come meet you. All right, where? At the roller skater rink? All right, I'll come to the roller skater rink. Michael doesn't know me from anybody, and I get there, and Michael's about 6'1", and he weighs maybe, I don't know, 145 pounds. And I get to the roller rink, and he goes, "Are you Kim?" And I go, "Yeah, I'm Kim." And Michael hugged me. And that hug was the love of God that wore off all of the evil. Yeah, all of that stuff. That's how precious and powerful and wonderful the love of God is. And you never go back. Twice was enough. I'll never go back. You know, it's just so incredible. So now to Acts chapter 8. Acts 8, 26. So what Lucifer did, do you realize that Lucifer tried to strong-arm God? Just like Goliath said, "I defy the armies of the living God." Lucifer tried that. Didn't work out any better for Lucifer than it did for Goliath, did he? But let's look at a man in Acts 8. Wait a minute. I have this new Bible, and you know how when I was coming up in the Word, this was our word. And this is what we do. We go, oh, my word. And we just loved it because God's word was our word and we loved it. Well, my word, I was sitting in fellowship and Ephesians fell out and this fell out and that fell out. So I had to get a new one. So I don't know where things are in my word. So verse 20, sorry. So in verse 8:26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is the desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Why did he go to Jerusalem?
To worship,
right. And he was returning, and he was sitting in his chariot, and he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit of the Lord said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and he heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And he said, understandest what thou readest? And what did the man say? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And Bob read you my credentials, and this is my other credential. How can I know God except some man guide me? And that's what I want to share today. I have been guided by some of the greatest men on the face of the earth and women. I've had the honor to be with God's very best. And so I realized Izzy DeGregorio lives with us now. Wonderful Izzy, I can't find her. There she is. There's Izzy. And just one day I made a statement to Izzy, and I'll share it with you later, and she had no idea. And I was like, oh my gosh, this has just been a part of my life for 44 years because I was trained so well, because people have taught me how to walk with God. And so that's what I want to share with you. So just some practical things. So this is like my title. I think cute titles are fun. So maybe you won't think it's cute, but I think it's cute. You can't lose it, so enjoy using it. So we got a gift, Holy Spirit, power from on high. It's the best gift you'll ever get. It's better than your KitchenAid. It's better than your Instapot. And I don't know what guys get because Tony's like so low maintenance, but whatever, I know, like a drill. You know, it's just better than that. And as we learned, we can't lose it. Speaking in tongues is a tool. It's a toy, if you will. It is ours. We got this gift. So what are we going to do? How are we going to, you know, build on this? It's our proof. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I work with a 4-year-old, and he's almost smarter than I am. But that's okay, I'm not intimidated because I'm Joey's mom. And when Joey was 2, he looked at me and said, I'm smarter than you, mom. So, you know what I said to Joey? Because I have the Spirit of God, I said, you may be smarter than I am, but the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and I've been fearing him a lot longer than you. So, so take that, you 2-year-olds. So now I'm not intimidated by a 4-year-old. Maybe by 10 years from now, I'll grow enough in my believing to not be intimidated by a 6-year-old. So 1 Corinthians 14:12. 1 Corinthians 13, of course, we know is the chapter on love. Verse 13, I just want to look at this really quick. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is the love of God. Follow after charity. The world says, oh yeah, the greatest. In fact, I was in a supermarket one day and somebody said to me, hey, what's the greatest? Faith, love, charity, what's the greatest of these? And I go, charity. They had no idea what it was. They didn't read 14. Follow after charity. And God's going to tell us that love of God. And desire spiritual gifts. God tells us, you know, even in Joshua, he says, there's life and there's death. Choose life. You know, and you do this with children. Do you want Cheerios or do you want Rice Krispies? You choose. We have this great freedom of will. Verse 2, for he that speaketh in a tongue speaketh not unto men, but who? When you speak in tongues, it's you and God. It's you and God. And how many times does God say, look at me, look at me? And it's the slightest turning. You know, sometimes I'm spacing off. And it's like, oh, look at me. Yes, when you're speaking in tongues, it's you and God. It's your relationship. For no man understandeth them. Howbeit, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. You don't understand yourself. Like Bob said, you're speaking a foreign language, right? Every time you speak in tongues, you're proving that. Chrissy read the verse in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2:8, you don't have to go there. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. When you speak in tongues, you know it's not of yourself. It's a reminder every time you speak in tongues that it's grace, you're saved by grace. So speak in tongues, just speak in tongues in your mind. That's nice, right? Let's go back to, let's stay in 1 Corinthians, you're still there, right? Verse 4. He that speaketh in a tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. When you're born, you got the whole package. Little Cameron back there is 3 weeks old. Now, they're in our fellowship. It's the sweetest thing. But there's this circle of people. So you're about from here to there from Cameron. Hello, Cameron. But what I want to show you is God knows us. We're his people. He made us. I was talking to Michael last night, and I was like, Michael, I'm such a visual. I have to have visual. And Michael's like, me too. So God's given us a visual. When you get born again, you got Holy Spirit, right? You got the full package. You're completely, completely, completely complete. You got everything. When Jamie gave birth to Cameron 3 weeks ago, he was the full package. He didn't come as a little stump, and then she nursed him and he grew an arm, and then she nursed me, grew a leg, you know? But you know what? God can do that. There's a thing called a tadpole. It's born as a stump, and it loses its tail and grows its legs. But no, the baby, when they're born, they have it all. They have it all. And so speaking in tongues is what builds us up. Let's look at 12. We edify ourselves. And we've heard a lot this week about renewed mind and taking it. We have to take it. Verse 12. Even so much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, and we all are, aren't we? We are zealous. We want them. We have seen this power. We marvel at this power. We desire it. We want it. Seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. And that word seek is desire. Go to John 4:23. You have to go here if you're talking about this, right? You just got to go to John 4. And this seek is the exact same word. John 4:23, seek, it's to desire. It's also to require. Now, I'm hypoglycemic, and for those of you who don't know, it means my blood sugar gets low. And so if I ever look at it like this, give me a cheese stick or some nuts. But the thing is I require protein, or I will just fall down in front of you. It's not pleasant. But it's a requirement. That's this word seek. You require it. Verse 23, this is Jesus Christ. He says, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. That's that word seek. You know, when you go to school, you're required to take these classes and stuff. God doesn't require that. It's like he seeks. He just so requires us to worship him in spirit and truth. And so God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth, truly by the Spirit. So the only way to do that is to speak in tongues, right? So just relax. I'm going to read you a couple of lifelines on speaking in tongues from Lifelines, and I'm just going to go through just speak in tongues. Romans 10:9-10 is the greatest healing. After this comes speaking in tongues. So, speak in tongues. Speak in tongues is our audience with God. How many of you dreamed about having an audience with, like, I don't know, you two or somebody? You know, you're like, ooh, wouldn't that be nice to have 5 minutes with them? Speaking in tongues is your audience with God. God wants to answer our prayers more than we want to pray them. And this really helped me as I was going through the prayer list. I actually came to my son, Andrew, And it's not stress and strain, but believing and acting on the word. So I get my prayer list, you know, and I come to Andrew, I'm like, okay, God, I'm speaking in tongues, you know, Andrew needs. And I went, what the heck are you doing? You know, I should be with joy, you know, bringing it to God. And it was like, yes, God wants to answer that prayer, and more than I wanted Andrew to have what Andrew needed. So then I could pray with joy and expectations. Speaking in tongues doesn't warm God's heart, it melts it. So just picture speaking in tongues, and there you're having, we're having an audience with God, and his heart is melting. If you haven't spent any time with Erica Fiola, who is right here, do. And I could say that about each and every one of you. Spend time with everybody, it's awesome. But we were in the car yesterday, and I was driving, and Erica was behind me. And I go, so Erica, how's Jolie? Well, you know, 5 minutes later, and it's wonderful. But then I go, Erica, she's 18 months? I go, what is she saying? And she's like, oh, she says, ba, 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 ba. And I go, what does that mean? She goes, it means everything. It means she wants her bunny. It means, what else does it mean, Erica?
Her cat.
Her banana means she wants everything. And here we are speaking in tongues. God, Lashanto Vodovidesi. He's like, they want everything. And his heart's just melting. Isn't that just beautiful? Sorry. Now I lost my place. But it's so wonderful. God's our Father. He delights in us. He brags about us. You have the full proof of the rewards, the return, eternal life, all of that, every time you speak in tongues. Every time, you know, and my believing was called into question not that long ago, and it wasn't easy, but it was last week I realized, what, okay, let's say Romans 10, 9, and 10 together, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Well, we'll stop there. You believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Back off, adversary. Back off. You've got the greatest healing and deliverance in the whole world, so shut up. Just shut up. Don't listen to his crap. It's nonsense, right? But you better, you know what? You're going to buy into his nonsense and drift, and it's an ugly place to be. But you got to be that aggressive. Oh, Acts 6. Oh, my God. Yeah, we've got to get here. Acts 6. This is fantastic. When we read the word, we really have to put ourselves in there. It seems so way out, right? It really does. Acts 6. Acts chapter 6. And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, so they've been out witnessing the words growing, the disciples are multiplying, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians. It always happens when the word moves. Against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. When people have needs, we should rise up in arms. We should be going to our fellowship coordinator. I go to Tony all the time. Hey, honey, hey, we got to do something about this. This is not right. Something needs to be done. 10 years ago, we moved into our house, and now we have a great room and a living room. Well, we only had furniture for one room. And 10 years ago, Eliana was born. And so Norgina comes in, and she's going to nurse in this room, you know, because she's a brand new mom. And so we're all in this room, and all I had to offer her was a hard chair. I was mortified. So after fellowship, she was happy. After fellowship, I walked in that room, and I go, God, this will not do. We're not having a nursing mother on this chair. That week, Liz Gilmore calls me and goes, oh, Michael bought some of these chairs. You know, do you want them? I go, yes. So we had this wonderful chair for her to nurse in. Father's Day weekend, was that 2 weekends ago? That was Eliana as a baby. Jamie brought Cameron to fellowship, and Jamie had a nice comfy couch to sit on to nurse Cameron, while in this room, Eliana is prophesying. Yes, isn't that amazing? Within 10 years to see that. So these things happen. So verse 12. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. No one knows how much you speak in tongues in your private prayer life. Nobody does, but there's fruit. The people knew these guys were speaking in tongues. The Apostle Paul says, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. And he received the greatest revelation to the church. So it's the foundation, verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose, Stephen, a man full of believing and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon, and these guys, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith, and Stephen, full of believing and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And Stephen was a guy just like us. And I read this verse about, again, 10 years ago, and I'm like, God, I want to be that. I want to be that person full of Holy Spirit, because I got it. And they had all these people to choose from, right? So just take it and go. I just want to share some practical things. Speaking in tongues is a language. We have it by grace. The gift that we have, it's our toy. It's a tool. And like I said, children, when they talk, I've been trying to learn Spanish my whole life, and I suck at it, and I was trying to learn to roll my R's, and so Christina majored in Spanish in college, and she took a linguistics class, and she goes, Mom, I took this class, and they're talking about babies, and the reason babies have no trouble learning languages, they're not embarrassed. Baba, 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 da, 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 da. And so, I could never roll my R's, and I go, oh, bara, or whatever, you know? It was like, I did it. You know why? The fear was gone. It's like the shame was gone, you know? So when you speak in tongues, you just do it. It's your audience with God. Lavado, Korea, Shantisto, Zapatos. It's a love story between you and your father. And I recently went to a graduation, and the one girl, she just shared, you know, that parents teach their children what they're passionate about. And I'm passionate about speaking in tongues. My Andrew was very quiet. He was very mellow. And so we would, you know, we'd do practice sessions. And this was Andrew. So I go, God, how can I help build a love of speaking in tongues for him? So you know what we did? We had conversations. So this is how they started out. I'm like, okay, Andrew, it's my turn. Levea sharia sakatu kumpuya savatos. And he's like, lavito shapetos. You know, and he grew. And that's how now Andrew is speaking in tongues wonderful. Yes. Now. but you know, it's a language. You have to develop a language. It is your connection with God. And these are some of the ways, like training. When I used to drive down to take care of my mother-in-law, I drove the parkway, I don't know how many times a week, and I would get bored and I need to engage my brain. So someone taught me along the line that, you know, you speak in tongues the letter. I think it's the thing. So I'm driving down and there's signs everywhere. So it's exit. So it's like, Avea, Zarito, Iria, Tompostas. It's a language. You develop it. You know, you discipline yourself. Bob talked about warfare. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not. They're these spiritual things. We have this gift, this toy. We're not going to lose it. Do it. When Joey was 2 and he opened this truck, you know what he did with it? He sat in it. Woohoo! I got a truck. It was a Tonka truck for dirt. Then the next toy, he got the box. That's what we do. We're God's children. He gave us a gift. What are we going to do with this? What can I do with this speaking in tongues? I can pray for you. You can have a conversation. Does this make sense? It's just a language. Develop your language. When I got bored, because I get bored easy, when I got bored with that, I did them backwards. You know, exit. Tevia is zaretos eretos. You know, but you're working it. You're developing it. It's a passion. And God will work with you where you are. Like I said, God says, look, and most of the time I'm looking over here, so I have to come back. This one time we had someone in our fellowship about 12 years ago who was pregnant, and something happened, and there was a problem, so our whole fellowship gets together for an hour, and we're just going to speak in tongues for the mom and the baby. And what had happened was I was bleeding very heavily, and it was very scary. And I called my doctor, and my doctor said, go to bed, lie down for 1 hour. It's the 1 hour that we're all supposed to be praying, so my whole fellowship is down. This is how gracious God was. There was a baby crying that whole hour. And I'm a mother. The whole hour, I don't know if it was a real baby. There's no baby in my neighborhood. I never heard a baby cry there before. That's how gracious God was. I wanted to do it, but my brain wasn't there. So God just did that. Isn't he so beautiful? He just will help you. Another thing when I was coming up in the Word is someone told me, you know, we all drive different cars, like Pammy drives a white Civic, right? So every time I see a white Civic, I speak in tongues for Pammy. You just discipline your brain. Yesterday, everyone Tony and I saw looked like Will Grove. So we're speaking in tongues for Will Grove, you know? This is how you develop yourself. Bob was talking about those spiritual little things that you do. This is what you do. You speak in tongues in your downtime. You know, you develop it. You have a little gift. The biggest reason for that gift is, one, it's your sticker. You could put it on your head, you put it on your Bible. You do what you want. It's your gift, right? That's like Holy Spirit. But the real big reason is because as those stickers were put on your seat, each one of you were spoken in tongues for. And I want to lay a challenge before you guys. If you're not a fellowship coordinator, okay, if you are, you can do this too. But if you're not, go to fellowship 15 minutes early this week or next week and go and speak in tongues for each chair. You know, that godly, Patty hit it, you know, you get a claim to it. That's why you're always speaking in tongues. And here's a real bonus for you, because that's that godliness is that true, vital, spiritual relationship with God, right? That's your relationship. And as you speak in tongues for every chair, and God is so gracious, he's done this. I don't always have time to do this anymore because I'm busy, so I had my kids do it or whoever lives with us. But you are praying perfectly for what that person needs in that seat. And God's so kind, he'll show you things sometimes. Sometimes you go to every seat and you know, oh, you're just praying for health. You're praying for peace. You're praying for light. And then you get your physical exercise too. You get your squats. Okay, you're speaking in tongues, you know, and God's working in you, and you go to the next chair, you know. But it takes the whole body, you know, so we all have to work together. So if you want to do things, so go to fellowship and sit in every chair and speak in tongues for them. Yesterday, Dorsey had a scratch on her back, you know, and we've all had this, right? You get your back itches, and you do this. And then that doesn't work, and you do this. And that doesn't work, and you go to the chair, and you do this. And that doesn't work, and you go to the wall, and you're just doing this, right? And then finally you go, Nate, and she comes over, and she does this, and you go, a little lower, a little left, a little to the right. And then you're like, speaking in tongues is the It hits the exact spot that is needed. Isn't that really great? I've been married to Tony for 36 years. It's a relationship. Your relationship with God is a relationship. It takes time, it takes work, it takes energy. And when Tony comes home, I don't go, hi, honey, and he goes, hi, honey. And we don't talk in monotones, you know? I mean, you don't talk in monotones to God. Lashanta, 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 Lashanta. Okay, I spoke in tongues, right? That's what I mean. You develop it, you know? And now it's my favorite thing. We just sit, we're just together, we're just being. And through the course of our relationship, when we were in the Way Corps, we were very busy. We start at 5, end at midnight. It's like, did you write the spiritual partners? Did you do the laundry? Did you do this? Did you do that? And one day I go, look, I don't want to be business partners. You know, I married you to have a companion, not a business partner. And he was always very gracious, so we took time. And then there was times when we were raising our children. There's business when you have children. You know, you have to talk about these things. So don't make your relationship with God business. You have business to do with God. You have the word to move. You have your husband, your friend to take care of. People have needs. But make sure that you just take time to be with God, to be his child, to speak in tongues. Sometimes speak in tongues for what he wants. You know, I mean, it says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the entire earth. He knows a lot of things. I mean, At Pentecost, I looked out and I was overwhelmed by the needs of all the people. I was so thankful I could speak in tongues. And then by the end, the Word of God took care of those needs. It was amazing. Here's a quote from Living Victoriously in Christ's Name. Man was created by a miracle working God. The miracle realm is man's living realm, for he is, by the new birth, the companion of the miracle working God, who is his Father. So we have the best companion. That's who our companion is. He's a miracle working God. So how do you keep it fresh? I've been speaking in tongues for 44 years and it's still fresh, but at times it gets boring. One time I was out smoking on my deck, having my coffee, just talking things over with God. My God, I'm just bored with speaking in tongues. Can you help me? The next day, Chloe Gosher was like 5 or 6 and I'm playing with her, babysitting, and she spoke in tongues for the first time. It was thrilling. It was so exciting. That's what I mean. It's a relationship. He's your Father. He will help you. Just go to him, you know. It's like marriage too, you know. It could be boring after 36 years, but it's not. You gotta work at it, you know. So you just gotta get back together and figure it out. So just keep speaking in tongues. And one of the things, one of the things I do every year is, it's an article in Our Times, and it fits right in with Ephesians 6:18, which no one read. So I'm gonna read it to you. I just discovered that people don't have this book. I was shocked. This is like, it's first my word, and this has like been my second book. It's called Christ in You. You can get it on Amazon. I would get it if I was you. It's God's Royal Household, some of Dr. Worrell's best teachings, Ambassador for Christ. This is in the Healing Wholeness of Love. He says, I don't know anything more healing than to be loved, than to gather someone into your spiritual arms, so to speak, into your heart, into your mind, and just tenderly share your dynamic love with them. The Christ in you, just that Christ within you, and that's what speaking in tongues does. It just gathers them in your heart, and that's why you want to build that discipline of the car, because people have needs, and God will show you these cars and these things because you've built them in, so that, because at each time we're those people. We're the ones who we don't understand and we need the help. So we just need each other to pray for each other and use this great spiritual gift. So I'm going to read you this article, and it's something I have to do every year to keep it fresh and new. God's people need to pray for each other. We need to love one another and take care of one another better. His word shows us that the best way we can do this is by praying in the Spirit, speaking in tongues for each other, because this is the greatest lever of prayer we've got. Speaking in tongues not only builds you up spiritually, it enables the Spirit of Christ within you to make intercession to God for other believers. In Ephesians 6:18, we have an urgent message for our times. You know when your phone goes off, there's a flood warning? Here's our flood warning, you guys. Wake up. Pay attention. There's a crisis situation. Nick spoke about it. Here is an appeal from God to saints everywhere to speak in tongues much, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You know that Ephesians is the greatest revelation ever written to man, the greatest love letter ever written. No believer can help but stand in utter amazement at the integrity and the accuracy, the love, power, and glory of the revelation in Ephesians. And immediately after unfolding of this fantastic good news to the church, God tells his sons to pray for one another in the Spirit like they've never done before. The word supplication in this verse means asking for the best. Dude, I'm asking for the best for you. The best. I'm speaking in tongues. The only way it is possible to ask God for the best is to speak in tongues, because the Spirit searches the innermost depths of the heart. God knows our need better than we know it. He knows the needs of our brothers and sisters in the body better than we can know. That is why praying in the Spirit is such a fantastic lever of prayer. We can thank God for the very best for ourselves and for others at any moment of the day or night better than we can understand with our minds. We can pray to God perfectly so that the thoughts of our less than perfectly renewed minds cannot interfere. This is vital and dynamic in our lives. The words watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints means that we are to speak in tongues with sleeplessness, staying at it day after day and time after time during the day. It doesn't mean we're supposed to stay awake all night praying. It's talking about our spiritual walk. We persevere, we stay at it, speaking in tongues for the outreach of God's word in the lives of his people and for the specific needs in the lives of those whom God brings to our minds. We are to watch, spiritually speaking, for ourselves and for others. And I can't find it now, but it was a quote Jerry read us at the advance. Basically, the more you speak in tongues, the more dynamic your life is going to be. And so I took that challenge, and I've been speaking in tongues more. Joey, my son, just ran a half a marathon, and I said, Joey, can I share? Because I think this is fascinating. He ran 13 point something miles. You don't jump up off the couch and run 13 miles. So if you've been speaking in tongues, maybe, I don't know, 10 minutes a day, today shoot for 11 minutes a day. And he said, I'm the perfect example because I was sitting on the couch and the next day I ran. And it was fascinating to me because every Sunday he would add a new mile. So every day, add a little more speaking in tongues. Don't go to bed until you've added that extra 1 minute. That's how you become spiritually strong. When you're at the supermarket and nothing's going on, just speak in tongues. Talk to your Father. What's going on? Watch. Persevere. Be diligent. Pray for that person that you know. You know, sometimes we know people are going through, and God has helped us because it is infirm. We love big, you guys. All of us do. We all just love so big, and that's how we can help. You and I represent Jesus Christ here on earth. If there is anyone we ought to watch and pray for, it ought to be the believers. Remember Ephesians, every joint supplieth. This is one body. We have to do this together. We have to stand together. We watch and pray. We matter to each other. We're one body. When this little finger hurts, you know, this hand ain't working right. So we're all important. We need to do it. We ought to watch and pray, for it ought to be believers. I know you pray for me. And I pray for you. And that was one of the most exciting things about teaching, besides sharing God's love and heart with you guys, is people praying for me. And boy, you need it. Don't we need it? It was really sweet. If we don't pray for one another, this ministry will never make it. That's right. And I'm talking about this ministry now, right today. When we pray for each other, we are enabling the Spirit within to make intercession to God so that the very best can come to pass. Lift your brothers and sisters in the household of God more often. We're not of this world, but we live in this world, and the times are dark. As we exercise our spiritual ability and minister to one another's needs spiritually, we will be able to more boldly open our mouths to make known the mystery of the gospel, as Paul writes in verse 19. We need this great unity of the Spirit in order to move the ministry of his word. Every one of us, our goal, word over the world. Word over the world. Every man and woman to have the opportunity to hear. All men to come into an accurate knowledge of the truth. We need to watch for one another so that we never compromise the word and rationalize it and faint in our minds, and allow the adversary to talk us out of our sonship rights. Use this God-given lever of power more than you've ever done before. Do it for love's sake and see the loving results in your own lives and the lives of God's beloved. God put his life within us, that Spirit. He's committed it to us. It's ours. As we commit our lives to him, by loving him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, together, nothing can stop us. So I love you. Thank you very much.
A love story, she said, between you and God. How awesome is that, speaking in tongues? Before we go to our fellowships, I thought I'd just read you 12 things about speaking in tongues that many of us know. To edify you, to speak to God divine secrets, to speak the wonderful works of God, to magnify God, to pray perfectly, to give thanks well, to have the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit, to know you are a joint heir with Christ, to strengthen you with might in your inner man, to be a sign to unbelievers, rest to the soul, to bring a message from God or for God to the people when interpreted. Wow, what a tool that Kimberly told us about. What a tool. Love you. Speak in tongues.